Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Okay, a couple questions in here. So if you're joining and you're listening, throw your question into the hopper here. You can either post it with a type it in, or you can put yourself in queue, and I'll pull you into the queue, and hopefully this will work with the internet connection here in Tampa. So far, so good. John S. is first in the batting order tonight. He says, "I see Elvis is starting tomorrow. Does that mean that Corpy starts on Saturday?" So actually, before I get to this, let me get to some news and notes while we let some people pile in here. Boone Jenner did not skate today. He is sick, and his availability for Friday's game against the Avs is up in the air. I think basically it depends on how he feels tomorrow, and that can be hard to predict. So he did not skate at all today, and the lines will adjust accordingly. I didn't read too much into the lines today. He was kind of flitting around the arena doing other stuff. But Jenner has been playing in the second or third line capacity recently between Nyquist and Jenner, or Nyquist and Voracek. So obviously there's going to be something to move around. And worth noting, Danforth is no longer around to slot in the middle. So, you know, maybe Kent Johnson gets a shot in the middle. If not on that line, on a different line. So something to keep an eye on with what they do there. Is a pretty interesting day at the rink today. The Blue Jackets skated. Pretty good crowd on hand at Nokia Arena. They had practice open to the public. There was a big throng for the Avalanche at 3 o'clock, and many of those people stuck around for the Blue Jackets at 4:30. Yeah, Blankenberg looks like he's getting really close, if not good to go. So that's good. That could change things on the back end as well. I'm not sure who he would go in for. You think maybe Juracek takes a seat? But so that's kind of where they're at here. This kind of goes back to John S.'s question about Elvis going Friday. He is the confirmed starter tomorrow. So we'll have to see what that means for Saturday. I think there's a real strong chance that Corpusalo goes. A bit of news on that this morning. Corpusalo is now the number two backup again, cleared health-wise after the hip surgery, and he is the number two. If Blankenberg is ready to come back, he would be activated. The Blue Jackets would need to then designate one of their goaltenders. They couldn't keep three on the active roster. One of them, it would be Tarasov, designated for emergency goaltender duty. So it is Elvis. We think it's going to be Corpusalo, his triumphant return from hip surgery. He spoke about that today. We'll have a story tomorrow or maybe later today, just about his recovery and how cool it is that his recovery happens in his home, his state, his home country. Sorry. He was in a pretty good mood today. Other things. This was a really interesting thing that the Finns were excited about, the Finnish media. The City of Tampa has two teams that finish Elite League. And Corpusalo played for one of them, Ilves, while Patrick Laine played for the other, Tapara, T-A-P-P-A-R-A. And they both play in the same arena. It's not a huge city, 250,000 here. But so the Avs are in one dressing room and the Blue Jackets are in the other. Well, Laine was none too pleased that he ended up in the Ilves locker room, because that's the heated rival of Tampere. And the guys of Tapara, and the guys from Finland were saying, the reporters were saying, that Corpusalo and Laine never played each other specifically, never went head to head in the Finnish Elite League, but they both played in that rivalry and they both know how much it means. So I think Corpusalo is having quite a bit of fun today at Elvis's expense, or at at Laine's expense for being in the room. Okay, let's move that. So there's your answer, John S., and thanks for posting that. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, step up into the stage queue, and we'll bring you in. Gene M. says, D breakdowns run amok. Is Kekalainen looking internally or outside the organization for solutions? So they have looked internally. You've seen that with Blankenberg coming into the lineup, with Juracek coming up from Cleveland. I asked him specifically the other day, Tuesday, when the Blue Jackets practiced in Helsinki, does he just simply have to wait for his first-round draft picks, defensemen, the three they've taken the last 2 years? Is that the fix on the blue line? Do you just have to wait on those guys? And he basically said, yeah, the answer is going to have to come from the roster, from those guys maturing into players. Now, this year means just Juracek, because Matichuk's back in junior. Kulemans is in college still. And I don't know that that means next year for Matichuk and Kulemans yet. Matichuk could be here next year. I don't know if you expect him to be a difference maker next year. We shall see. But he talked about, Kekalainen did, the extremely high price of acquiring top four defensemen. Said it's almost as bad as centermen. We know how hard those are to find. So he's looking. He has tried to look. He's tried to find. But if you start adding fifth and sixth defensemen, you're just kind of having more of the same problem. I think they have a defense that can play a lot better than it has. I think the entire team can play a lot better than it has. I do believe that. I'm not sure that they're not deeply flawed as a roster. We've said that too. And it may take the young players becoming big time NHL players before they get out of it. But he didn't sound hopeful that a trade could be had. So there's maybe not the answer you're looking for, Gene, but there it is. Barrick N says, are there more CBJ or Avs fans there? You know what? That's hard for me to say. I've seen there were a bunch of CBJ fans in Helsinki. I asked the Blue Jackets today, and they estimated that there were 200 people that came over from Columbus on the trip. So people that the Blue Jackets know were traveling here to support the team. That doesn't answer the question of how many people here are Blue Jackets fans. I think there are probably more Avs fans, but there are Blue Jackets fans here because of Laine for sure, because of Kekalainen a bit as well. I know Kekalainen is a point of pride for many in Finland. So there were plenty. I gathered some pretty interesting stories today at the rink. A young woman from the UK who flew here to see the Blue Jackets play. She picked them up on TV in 2015, fell in love with the team, and has supported them ever since from Manchester, UK, and took a flight to Helsinki and to Tampere to watch these next two games. Then she's going to head back to home. Dreams one day of coming to Nationwide Arena for a game. Met all kinds of Finns that are Blue Jackets fans here. And we'll have that story for you on Friday morning before the game start. So there is lots of support here. And the arena is it's a beautiful place. It looks like it's college size, though. So it will be packed for sure, and it should be loud. It should be a great atmosphere for these two games. 1 p.m. each day, Friday, Saturday in Columbus time. Let's see here. Joe P says it can be hard in any sport to try to find a reason for poor defense. That's an interesting thought. I'd have to think further about that. Is it personnel? Is it the scheme? And I think he might. Oh, here we go. Is it personnel, experience, or a mix of everything? What's your take on the Jackets' defensive struggles? Well, you know, I think we unfairly malign just the defensemen for their defensive struggles, and I don't think it's just that. I think the whole team needs to be tougher, harder to score against. They need to make people pay a price more than they do. But the defense just, you know, it is all over the map, and it has been. Now, ever since Savard and Jones left, it's been really, really unsettled back there. I guess that's what you expect. I guess that's sort of the ultimate compliment to those two guys. They still haven't replaced them, and that's not going to be easy. They've been hoping that some of these young players who have at times looked promising would grow into it. But that's the kind of patience that's hard to ask for when you're a team that's at the salary cap. And a team that has been basically pushing yourself as a playoff team all summer. They, you know, so much of defending is want to, not skill, not, I mean, all of those things work. All of those things are part of it, but it's attitude and it's desire and it's heart. And those are the things that they need to amp up here. And they're going to be tested severely Friday and Saturday by the Avalanche. I think it's going to be really good for them to come to a completely different situation. It's almost like an outdoor game with just how unusual it is, the surroundings, and no one has a benefit with that. It's not a home game for the Avs. Do they have to win a game here for it to be a success? I mean, probably in a lot of people's eyes, but I think a lot of people just want to see this team start to play closer to its potential, and certainly play to leave nothing on the ice at the end of the game. And I don't think there's been enough of those games in the early going. They just haven't gone hard enough. Could we see Corrali move up to a second line role at center with the absence of Boone Jenner? Well, could you? Yes, I think my guess is that would be Cole Sillinger first. And maybe Corrali moves up to three. You know, Foodie's played a lot of center too. He could end up playing fourth line center if they're desperate to get a body in there. But I think Sillinger would be the pick ahead of Corrali to go into the second line if Jenner can't go. But we'll get more answers on that tomorrow if that's the case. Gene M says, how secure is Lars's job and who, in your opinion, were the most interesting candidates that were interviewed two off seasons ago? I have to go back and look through my records. I think Larson is safe. I asked Jarmo two different ways for our Q&A the other day about how much of this falls on the coach. Some of it does, for sure. I think Lars realizes that. He was asked today if he's worried about his situation, and he said, nope, not worried about it. You're not going to get a truthful answer of that anyways, but I don't think that's something that people should be looking for right now. Certainly if this team continues to play in a fog, why, you know, you can't have that. But I didn't get that sense from Jarmo in any way that's on his mind at present. But we'll see. DER says it's difficult to play tough defense when the goalies are giving up soft goals. You know, this argument seems to rage on Twitter nightly almost. There are some people who think every goal that goes in is a bad goal, especially for Elvis for some reason. But you know what? It does all work together. And there have been some bad goals, some real stinkers. And you just see a real deflation in play after that happens. You just see, especially on this team, and I think we've seen that in a couple of games, the Pittsburgh game for sure, where I think they felt like they should be up 3-0. And they let in two pretty loose goals in the second period. And then next thing you know, it's a game and Pittsburgh's got life again. Those were damaging. But there have been a lot of nights where, I don't think you can put the New Jersey game on Elvis. I think he battled his ass off, but saw, you know, just some unbelievable breakdowns and scoring chances. I mean, I sometimes think that this team doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing defensively. Like, it's too complex for them. they can't quite process it because they're, how many times in a face-off can you just see a guy slip wide open, especially in the offensive zone where you should really be on your toes. And they tend to get that player open all the time. I feel like the Browns play-by-play announcer, Jim Donovan, who is the Browns secondary, has been so bad this year that the phrase he has said more than anything is wide open. And I find myself saying that in the press box at Nationwide. They've just left people. Sidney Crosby, two-time Hart Trophy winner, five-time Mr. Everything, just completely forgotten about in the right circle. And I don't think you can put that on the goalie. But, you know, it all works together. The goalie stops trusting his defense to make sensible plays. The defense stops trusting the goalie and thinks that they have to be perfect because he's letting everything in. All of these things work together. And someone's got to have a hell of a game to help push the tide the other direction here. But it can happen. Let's see. Colin B says, I've been a fan of what Boone Jenner brings to the team, but at least in your stories, we hear a lot from Zach, Elvis, some Johnny, and even Yarmo pretty frequently. I can't remember seeing much from Boone so far, though. Not that he shouldn't be wearing the C or anything like that, but is it a little strange that the captain hasn't gotten out in front of the team's poor start more? I would say that's less on Boone and probably more on me. Boone is a solid dude and a meat and potatoes guy. Not the best quote in the world. And I find often, it seems like he can't wait for it to be over with. It's just not his forte. And I don't mean that in any negative way. He does his duty as a captain. But it's not, he's not going to give much, to the microphone, especially after a bad game. So there have been some games where we've talked to him and I've not quoted him. You'll have that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just because other players' quotes have been more vivid and more sort of, passionate. It's nothing personal. I can assure you that. I've known Boone for a number of years. We get along fine. It's just, that's the way it's worked. I think at least a couple games this season. Johnny H says, do you think the CBJ is trust each other's play? I ask because I see two and three guys in the same place trying to do the same job, leaving opponents wide open. Do some guys leave their own role to go help someone else's with theirs? So they play a combo man and zone defense. And I think they have a lot of trouble figuring out at what point they're supposed to switch from man to zone. And I know they're switching to zone low in the zone. In the defensive zone, that's where you see guys switch off a lot. But I see real confusion with what they're trying to do. And you keep thinking it's going to get better. Keep thinking that they're going to figure it out and things are going to get smoothed out. But my God, it is just, it's been a while now. I mean, and it was an issue last season. It's more of an issue already this season. And I think this surprises them because they spent all summer trying to clean it up. And at this point, it's only gotten worse. So I'm not sure if it doesn't just, it's going to have a personnel change on the back before it's really cleaned up. But trust is a big thing. We were just talking about that with the goalie letting in a stinker and how play gets deflated and how it works the other way as well. I do think we've seen a lot of situations already this year where things go wrong and guys try to do things by themselves, which is in a way, an aspect of not trusting each other. So, I think we can say that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's go. So you got somebody in queue here. Let me see who's in queue. Paul B. Let me bring Paul B. in.
Bordy, how's it? How's Finland treating you?
Oh, good. Good, man. And how's the connection here? Can you hear okay?
Absolutely. I'm outside of Coshocton right now. I hear you loud and clear.
Is that not amazing?
You're a world away from here.
Yeah, and it's not delayed either.
No, yeah. That's fantastic.
Well, go ahead.
Hey, first things, how's the vibe around the team? I've got to imagine it was a pretty quiet flight for the guys over after the New Jersey game. Are they kind of shaking it off a little bit, or is it still sticking with them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know specifically that loss. They tend to move on pretty quickly. I think they move on quicker than fans do sometimes. I wasn't on their plane. I had my own ride, not my own ride, but I flew on a different flight.
Yep.
So, hard to measure that. I don't think they had a lot of fun on that flight, though. I do think that if you ever want to change the sort of the atmosphere around a team, I can't imagine there's a better way to do it than to fly on the other side of the world. Kind of let your guard down a little bit and let it fly. So they were off on Monday. They practiced Tuesday. And then Wednesday they did not practice. They had a team day where they did sauna, all kinds of fun stuff. I would think that, you know, I would think they've moved on from the game. I liked what Sean Crawley said on Tuesday. Like, you can't just say you got to move on and come here and forget about it, because they have to shoulder what they've done or not done so far through 10 games. You can't just say, oh, well, start over again. I think they've tried that a few times. That's okay after game three. You're now 10 games deep, and you've dug yourself a hole already. I sensed a resolve about them. It's also tough, too, because the coach, I think, wants this to be a business trip. But that's, you know, that's when you're off 2 days out of three. And it's a cultural experience. It is for a lot of these guys. Some of these guys have never been to Europe before. So this is really new for them. I think it's a great way to change the vibe. It's not the easiest opponent to try to dig out again, certainly.
Yep.
But I'm fascinated to see how they play Friday.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it as well. I was curious about something, and maybe you can speak to this. Maybe you've noticed it. But obviously the Jackets, you know, to say they're struggling with the power play when they have a man advantage is an understatement. But I'm wondering if teams obviously see this and see the Jackets struggling with it, do opponents start taking more liberties with our guys and not worrying so much about hookings and chargings and things, you know, taking penalties?
Yeah.
Because do they end up doing that?
Well, so.
Or have you seen it?
I think in a general sense they do. I think in a general sense they know that they can push the envelope and they can challenge this team physically. It's not like the old days where you know, you're fighting and enticing guys to fight all the time. But I think they feel like they can take the body and be really aggressive in their defending and checking. And if they end up shorthanded, it's kind of worth it. You know, there are teams where you go into it thinking you got to stay off the penalty kill. And you can't let them be on the penalty kill. So the emphasis is move your feet, move your feet, move your feet. I would guess against these guys, it's to get physical. It's to push the envelope, take it to the edge, and see if you can get a result that way. They're 0 for 25 on the power play, which is just hard to believe. It's going to break sometime, but I don't think beware the Blue Jackets power play is on the list of pregame priorities for opponents. So go after it. Go hard and check your ass off. And if you end up going down a skater, it's probably not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's I think you're probably right on the money with that, because until they're making teams pay for going to the box, they're not going to give a damn.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well.
100%.
Interesting, right. Interesting. Well, I'll let you get running and let somebody else jump in. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, and enjoy yourself. Hello to everybody in Coshocton.
Sounds good. We'll see you.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll go to Nick S. Nick, are you there? Hello, Nick. You look like you're there, Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Porty. Sorry, I got disconnected for a second. A quick question. In the last few days, I'm seeing a lot of reports primarily coming out of Twitter that, and they're associating it with Elliot Friedman, that the Blue Jackets could be in conversation, or better said, the Maple Leafs could be in conversation with the Blue Jackets about Gavrikov and maybe a trade. And then we've seen the name Nylander also included in this. Are you hearing anything to this on this particular topic?
I have not heard that specifically from anybody that I would trust, as knowing that something like that's been discussed. I think the Gavrikov choice is interesting because he's a UFA. I mean, I can't tell you, I don't pretend to know what the rumors say is coming back, but that is a massive hole in the backside of the Blue Jackets' defense if Gavrikov goes. And now I think you're looking for three top four defensemen, too. So it's possible the Blue Jackets have, like, so far the conversations with Gavrikov's people about an extension have not gone particularly well. It's not a big deal because he's not UFA until this coming summer. But I don't sense at this point an imminent deal at all. So that you would consider that. Listen, they'd have to give to Hurt to get Nylander because Nylander is a special player. So Gavrikov being part of it makes sense. I'm just not sure this team has the ability or that could possibly give up more from their defense to help their forwards. I mean, that seems a little risky to me. Again, I don't know what people think is coming back, but who in the world plays on the second pair if Gavrikov gets traded?
Yeah, I clearly hear you there. It would clearly decimate the team for this year and really put pressure on figuring out, you know, where are we going to get defensemen? Because all the guys we have are still developing, and who knows whether they will develop into an NHL defenseman.
Right. I mean, you need them now. And, you know, a team with Laine, Gaudreau, these guys should be able to produce. Roslovic's an offensive player. Kent Johnson's going to be a superb player. I don't know that they need more offense on this team. They need more of everything right now, but I think defending better should be the priority.
Thanks, Porty. Have a great time.
All right, thank you. Have a good night. Okay, let's see. We'll cut off here. John S. John S. says, are you picking up a different vibe from the players since arriving in Finland? Or has the anger of the last couple of games carried over? I think a sauna and a couple of long drinks probably chills you up pretty good. I don't think they're obsessed with how that game Sunday in New Jersey went. I think they've moved on already. I do. But I do think there's some concern, real concern about this season. And can they get it back together again? They have to turn it around very quickly. Philip W. says, how are the chicken wings? Philip, I wish I knew. And frankly, I wish I knew right now because I'm starving. It's 7:35. I'm kind of out here in the boonies in Tampere, and I'm not sure we're going to get food delivery out here. So you've made me even hungrier. Philip, I hope you're happy. Sounds great. We may end up with that for dinner tonight. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that one. Chad E. says, a lot of folks asking about Lars's job, but with the PP and the defensive struggles, how hot are the seats of the assistants? Using a football comparison, how often do teams generally use the old fire the offensive defensive coordinator reaction? You know, it's not very often, especially mid-season. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that is a concern or a possibility either. I think Pascal Vincent could end up being the next coach of this team. He's in charge of the power play. I mean, listen, the power play is atrocious. The defense has been leaky, to be kind. The overall performance of the team, though, they just haven't competed hard enough. And that's not, you know, a view from the press box. That's the players and the coaches saying it. Hasn't been hard enough to play the Blue Jackets this season. That's something you always knew about the Blue Jackets. That 4-year span when they won the playoffs, they had some skill at times for sure, but you always knew you had a game coming. They were always very tough defensively. This team just doesn't make you pay a price. And I mean, if you want to, I watched the Cleveland Monsters game in Syracuse when Corposalo came back, and I saw a player lay a hand on Corposalo in the slot, maybe whack at his glove in the crease, sorry, a couple times. And Carson Meyer put that kid in a headlock and threw him to the ice, and all hell broke loose. In Columbus, you're not seeing that. Like, where's the fire? I sometimes wonder about this team. If the skilled players didn't look at Gaudreau and see Line A and think, okay, we're good. Yeah, this is, you know, not much is expected of us this year. These guys got it. And on the other side, I wonder about Gudbranson and Olivier. These guys, you know, these guys are tough. These are the tough guys they brought in this summer. Do some of the guys that used to go 300 miles an hour, not fighting, but just really hard to play against, did they take a deep breath and think, okay, we got some toughness here now. I don't need to be quite that guy anymore. And it doesn't take too many people thinking like that before you lose your edge as a team. They just don't have any bite right now. There's no snarl to their game. There's no matter of factness to it. There's no just precise decision making. It's all like they all look lost in fogland. Anyways, O and A. I think I might know who this is. Let me take a drink and ponder. Why did the front office pay $4 million for 4 years on a third pair defenseman who doesn't play defense well? Who, I wonder, is Owen A. referring to? Eric Gudbranson. Listen, I feel like I've taken up the role of Gudbranson protector here, or defender anyways. And is he playing well? He is not playing well. Is the entire team playing well? They're not playing well. Gudbranson needs to be a third pairing defenseman protected. He needs to make neutral zone or defensive zone starts. He needs to be on the penalty kill and get his minutes that way. You have to put him in the right spot, and he can be, I think, a real positive part of your hockey team. Look at his role in Calgary last year. That's really the best argument for him. Now, is that guaranteed that he can just completely reproduce that here? Of course it isn't, and so far he hasn't. It doesn't look great, but nobody looks great right now. I think Gudbranson can be a real benefit to this team, but I think his play's got to change. I think a lot of people's play has to change so that the pressure's taken off him. That's what I would say. It's pricey. It's a lot. But they studied this team and obviously watched this team with a very close eye last year, and they came away from it. I think a lot of people thought this was just me saying it, or just us in the media saying it. It wasn't. They felt they needed to get tougher. They felt that was their biggest impediment on the back end. And there's really not much of, there's nobody tougher than Gudbranson. But we just haven't seen that yet. And that's on him, and that's on the team as well. I think it can change. We'll go about 20 more minutes here. Mac H says, I think you hit the nail on the head, if you understood correctly, with regard to the toughness issue being a team issue as well as the defensive unit specifically. Does CBJ objectively play a less physical game than the rest of the NHL? If so, is this something that can be improved by coaching or team mindset? Or is it ultimately a problem that only personnel changes can solve? From my amateur perspective, the hardest hitting guy on the team, sadly, is one of the smallest, Blankenberg, and he might be paying the price for pl- playing a big boy style of play in a smaller body. I don't think it's two guys ratcheting it up 100%. I think it's 10, 12 guys ratcheting it up 10%. I think that's what you're looking at. I think it can change because, I mean, ask yourself, have you seen it before? And I thought we saw it last year. I think these guys can do it. And there were times last year where they weren't great defensively. But then a couple games after that, they would start battling their asses off again. The battle lever has got to be better. It's not just me saying this. This seems to be the conclusion that the team has reached. And I think they're right. And I'm not sure if it can start Friday. I don't think you just snap your fingers and turn it on, but they have to be a tougher team to play against. Mac H says, I have never been comfortable with Gabby's call me celebration. Okay. If I knew what he meant by that, I guess I could decide if I were offended or not. Philip W says, well, Marchenko has slowed down a bit. Bemstrom has continued to light up in Cleveland and is second in the league in points right now. How soon until he or someone else gets called up to push this roster a little more? Well, here's the thing. I don't want to be too negative about Emil Bemstrom, but I am not really that concerned with what he does in the AHL record and the AHL ranks. But I'm not convinced that he's going to come up here and push things forward. I just don't think he has that. He has not shown himself to have that in him so far in the NHL. So I think Marchenko, there's some stuff they want Marchenko to work on. They won't specify, obviously. The kid can score. He has slowed down, but he's also played some really good games that I've watched. So I don't think he's down there forever. I think, you know, as long as they continue to lose up here, there's going to be people wondering why Marchenko's not getting a shot to help them. I think we'll see him eventually, but I think where he's at right now is okay too. I think it's a development league. Let's see. This is from Robert B. Robert B says, if Vincent is in charge of the power play, why on earth would he be a candidate for the head coaching job? Have we already done that experiment? Well, again, they don't pick a head coaching candidate just based on the special teams percentage. We've seen that, as you know, Brad Larson getting the job. Listen, I point out nightly, how bad the power play is when it's this bad. It's only fair. It's only true. It's only what's really happening. But I have to think, don't I? Am I crazy? Have I not learned that at some point with this array of talent, they're going to figure it out and start scoring some power play goals? Maybe they get one here in Finland. We'll see. I don't know. Is it Pascal Vincent's fault? The GM's got to make that call. I mean, but listen, they've got a guy to bring it up. Morenski can skate it up the ice. Gaudreau can skate it up the ice. They've got shooters. They've got everything they need to have a good power play. Keep working at it. Keep getting there. I don't know why it's not working. It's a mystery to me. Pascal Vincent's very highly thought of. That's the only reason I mentioned his name. Damon got the Winnipeg job this year. There's obviously a lot of criticism going around about individual efforts, but is there someone on the team who you think has surpassed expectations before so far, not counting Blackenberg? I would say no. I think that's your answer. I don't think anyone's surpassed expectations. I think they've had some guys play to them. But I really don't think anyone's really due to be lauded too heavily right now. Jacob K says, at what point does Larson and the coaching staff get on the hot seat? If a few players were not doing well, it would be one thing. But when the entire team is playing terrible, it has to be a coaching problem. I mean, it's got to be in the mind of the general manager, and it's where they're at. 10 games is a little early for me, but you can't wait too long either. So, is he on the hot seat? I think his seat's probably toastier now than it's ever been. This is kind of the first big challenge of his coaching career. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it and pulls out of it. Because they are digging themselves quite a hole. Let's see. R.E. Gavi. Call me your better, yet my agent. I am looking for a bigger contract. Making a joke here, says Mac H. Yeah, I don't think Gavrikov's making a joke. I think he wants to get paid. But yeah, the call me doesn't really do much for me. What's been your favorite food and drinks there? Well, I've not had reindeer yet on this trip. Had it on the last one. What did I have that was fantastic? I mean, long drink is wonderful. My wife had a red or pink grapefruit long drink that she really liked. I didn't much care for that one, but the regular long drink is different here than it is back home, but it's really, really good. Food-wise, boy. I mean, the cinnamon rolls here are amazing. Sweden's the same way. Amazing. Yeah. I went to a great place called Cafe Regatta. Got a cinnamon roll, had a little hot chocolate. Fantastic. Yeah, we've been to a couple of nice spots. Not done the reindeer this time, but it's kind of everywhere. So, yeah, I'll get back to you on that one. I've not had any reindeer, I've not had any bear meat, I've not truly stretched it out here. Last time I was here, I had some delicacies from Jarmo Kekäläinen's family bakery, which was spectacular. Most of it. Some of it was a little, you know, fishy, but really enjoyed it. So there you go. All right. I think that's kind of the crux of the questions. I'd like to thank everybody for weighing in. We went 47 minutes. That's pretty good. I'd like to thank you all for your questions. By all means, feel free to step up in the queue there. I think sometimes it works better when we have a conversation. So next time, give that a consideration. It's pretty good. I'm glad you could hear me. Glad this worked out. And hope you're enjoying the coverage from Tampere. We'll have a story up here shortly on Jonas Korpisalo, looking like he might play this weekend. And we're going to write a story about all of the Finnish people who are just delighted to have their favorite NHL team to come to them rather than having them stay up till 2 in the morning for face-off. So there you have it. Thanks for listening to this week's Front and Nationwide Live Room. And we will talk to you quite soon next time back in Columbus. All right, take care.